now that you've come full circus with Dance Me This.
Full circus?
Yeah, full circus. Do the do line.
Okay. There we have our orders, people. Let's get our perceiving caps on, not our thinking caps. What, Roxy?
Just do it.
Okay. Did you like Pachuco Gavotte? The Zappa thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Very interesting.
Okay, right before the do line in my archives is a letter by McLuhan to Playboy. And it's about it must have been an excerpt by Alvin Toffler from his book Future Shock, which came out around that year, 1970. And McLuhan used to say to Barry Nevin, why didn't they do what Toffler did? He came up with a phrase, participatory democracy, some phrase, and, small is beautiful, but that's Shoemaker did that. Anyways, he had a commentary. He had, he was interested in Toffler's success. Toffler became a big seller. So McLuhan, just when Toffler is starting to be known with his book called Future Shock, McLuhan writes to Playboy and he says, in Future Shock, Alvin Toffler provides a splendid inventory of the new technological services and their accompanying disservices. He is not concerned with causes. He always starts off with a compliment. Well, splendid inventory. However, he didn't get anything done, is what he's saying. He is not concerned with causes, only with products. New technologies alter the organs of human perception by putting new environments around the society. Concepts are useless as a means of adapting to new perceptual situations. That is why people live 50 years back rather than in the present. The cultural shock from new technology is administered directly to the nervous system. With the new satellite environment, the Earth became an old art form. As the Gutenberg technology scrapped the preceding manuscript culture, it retrieved antiquity and dumped it into the Renaissance lap. As electric technology scraps the preceding mechanical environment, it dumps all prehistorical societies and all forms of occultism and ESP into the Western lap. The satellite environment scraps nature itself and compels man to launch out on the enterprise of total programming. It is these new technological environments that extend and alter our perceptual organs that make great demands on our psychological resources. Marshall McLuhan, Director, Center for Everything, or Center for Culture and Technology, University of Toronto, Toronto, Ontario. Now, they'd published a couple of articles, or at least one. They'd had the interview with him a year before. So here he is, and we've been doing the do line. Everything he said, we've heard 100 fucking times. You notice he's a recording. He's impersonal. He's just saying what has to be said. Very simple laws of the situation, and that's what he says everywhere. You recognize what you've heard before, right?
Yes.
But he adds a little take. He may have said this... the ESP being retrieved, but he says dumps all prehistorical societies. Now, he used to talk about Paleolithic man. Is that prehistorical? I don't know. But this is right when I'm hanging out with Dave Worster. So, of course, I took this personally. He's talking about my involvement with ESP and occultism with the cosmic awareness. So I identified with this thing. Now, how did I get this letter? When Carolyn did her... medical school on, what's that word? On, what do you call those extra things you take? Enclaves. Electives, yeah. She did her elective in California in the fall of 77. I took advantage of that and went up to the University of California, whichever one was in L.A., and UCLA is called, and I spent several days going through their microfilm of the L.A. Free Press and Playboy magazine, finding these things and Xeroxing them. So I'm probably the only person in the world who has them, these particular letters. There's a guy named Carlos Morton from Chicago, Illinois. He opens the response. Let's see what he says about Future Shock. He says, I felt as if I were speeding. Speeding in quotes. I felt as if I were speeding as I read Alvin Toffler's Future Shock. It's becoming increasingly certain that man has lost his head completely in the past few centuries and that a cancer of madness is eating up the world. As the feeble intellectual clock of mankind turns time into a new century, it appears that the machine will indeed snap and spray its glowing tinfoil contents into space, ending a wonderful but hopelessly insane creation. Now, that guy doesn't realize that he feels that way because the satellite turned made the planet look polluted. Right? The effect of the satellite was to say, this planet, the old environment, is a mess. We need to fine-tune it, program it. So you have him expressing the instinctive that leads to Earth Day, April 22nd, 1970, and McLuhan naming the causes and pointing out that Toffler didn't name the causes. Isn't that clever?
There is a video of McKenna talking about the effects of the printing press, and he said the printing press is the first mechanical technology that has the interchangeable parts.
Yes.
Yep. Maybe this idea of everything becoming a machine is also an effect of the printing press, and they are still in the bonanza effect.
Okay, speak up a little bit. No, I heard what you said. Now, have you have not heard what McKenna said? You have not heard that idea before?
Not about the interchangeable pieces.
Parts. Well, okay.
Yeah, because he says the Chinese invented the printing press, but they would make a wood plate and press the whole text,
right,
like an engraving. And Gutenberg was the first to have this concept of different parts.
That's right. Now,
that one can move around.
Now, if you've never,
that was the real novelty of the printing press.
Right. Now, McKenna would have been just reading from McLuhan, but this is where one reads McLuhan, he's pretty good at explaining things, making it simple, but one doesn't realize how little you know about what all the stuff he's saying. And that very idea is the key idea about the printing press. The printing press is the first assembly line. The printing press happened in the West because we've been set up into a visual framework of applied knowledge caused by the phonetic alphabet. The Chinese do not have the visual space framework caused by the phonetic alphabet, so they never thought of applying it, the printing press. It was just for making pretty things. But we, what McLuhan calls applied knowledge, we're going to fill up the new space with gadgets and inventions. That's why Gutenberg, and that's why the printing press got used in a new way, which is predicted by the Book of Revelation. Now, the other thing about replaceable parts, that means that the old social structure of feudal society, where everybody had personal loyalties through their lord, their overseer, whatever you call those guys, the kings and princes that ran the manors and the baronial estates, the knights, everything was geared and you would have a position, you have a role. You might be a blacksmith or something. Now, that meant there was a hierarchy, and then when the printing press comes in and levels all the hierarchy, then everybody becomes equal before the law, a separate floating billiard ball individual who is replaceable by any other individual. That's the beginning of the industrial economy. And so the people, the economy, imitated the replaceable parts of the Gutenberg press. Humans became replaceable parts. They all were equal before the law and had individual, quote, democratic status, supposedly, but they were interchangeable and expendable. See? So you understand that about the printing press. You're on page one of McLuhan. That's the key thing to understand. Why it happened.
Yes, another interesting thing is he said that creates also the audience. Before that, there is no audience.
That's right. No, the public. Very important. He creates a public. The electric age creates mass men, not the public. The public is equal citizens, all having their own point of view, and their life revolves around their point of view. They vote on their point of view, and that's the definition of a literate audience. It's the public. So the public was born. You know, we have a star is born. Well, McLuhan used to say a public is born. And so you don't use the word audience. It's a separate, visually biased grouping called a public, made up of fragmented individuals. That's the public. Okay? So you haven't read
that, the only opinion
what
counted was the opinion of the kings and the aristocracy. The others had no saying.
Okay, but see, that's, McLuhan said the Gutenberg galaxy took 300 years to implement. It's a slow, incremental adjustment to this new invisible effect of the printing press, because people aren't reading a lot at first. But the changes are, it breaks up the Catholic Church, and you have the 30 years or 100 years religious war in the 1600s. The Jesuits are created as an intelligence agency to counter the Rosicrucian Royal Society, Isaac Newton, British intelligence agency, Corne Rouge, propping up Venice, the Venice gang. Let's see, what else? You have massive identity crisis for a couple hundred years due to the print upsetting the kings, and the kings held on for a couple hundred years. You know what I mean? They didn't get really wiped out till the American Revolution, when George III, who was quite nuts, blew it. So we're talking 200, 300 years, 1450 to 1750, slow change of the printing press. So the oligarchy always kept themselves in the money loop. You know what I mean? They just couldn't. They had to put on the idea that we're going to be a republic and the people get to vote equally. That's what the kings are forced to adapt to over a couple of hundred years. So what are you saying there, Roxy? You're saying that the kings carried on?
Well, this starts this effect of, like you said, individuals. And individuals having things to say.
Yes. That was new.
Before, yes.
Because they could read.
Like you said, they're interchangeable parts.
That's right. You got an opinion? Well, we don't like it. We'll get another guy with an opinion.
And that's the Renaissance. Man becomes the center of the universe.
Yes. No, the man becomes thrown to the edges of the universe. That's the Copernican Galileo. No longer a geocentric world. It's a center margin effect of the printing press, and we get sent to the end of the edge of the universe, and the sun is the center.
Listen, and we already talked about how the electric environment created all this wave of spiritualism. But at the time of the...
Okay, you got to fix your mic. It's too muffled. You said that...
Yeah, when the Bible was printed, the people reading about apocalypse,
yeah,
created... a lot of prophecy.
Yes.
A lot of people like Nostradamus and this meme of the end of the world.
Yes.
People said the world was going to end at that time, for example.
Well, they had
the
a
Adamites.
Literate history. What did you just say? Amphimites? What did you say?
No, the Adamites.
The other mites?
Sect that, the sect that was trying to go back to the Garden of Eden, and they will do everything naked, like El Bosco.
Oh, yeah?
He was doing these paintings with all these naked people because he was an Adamite.
Hieronymus Bosch.
They were trying to retrieve the original technology of the Garden of Eden.
Right. See, so they were abstracted into a visual abstract space. This disoriented everybody, and now you start to have a linear continuum running parallel to direct ordinary experience in your society. So this track of visual, a continuity, an alleyway, a tunnel of a figure of some kind of an environment, that's what they think is going to end. No one thought in terms of ending before that. Nothing ended, or there were just cycles. There was, in 1000, and now this is interesting, in 1000 A.D., the Evergreen said that there was all these universities, and because the Second Coming didn't happen, they destroyed all the universities. I don't know if that was the same theme, and that's before the printing press. So, again, McLuhan proved wrong again. Forget it. We don't really mean what we say about McLuhan, but we find him interesting to talk about. Forget everything we just said. There's no such thing as replaceable parts or assembly line or visual space. Because somebody knew there was something that was going to happen in 1000 A.D. But we retrieve McLuhan, we come up with another reason, so we bring him back. No, that's right, we were wrong about you. You were right, McLuhan, because whatever was going on in 1000 A.D. probably had some other weird psychology causing it. Nothing to do with the end of the world.
The Jesuits were these universities and the education for all the Habsburg Empire.
Yes.
They had so many different people. They were trying to do this universal education for all because of the books.
Program everybody individual space. That was the beginning of programming. McLuhan talks about nature becomes programmable when it becomes the content of the Gutenberg galaxy, of the visual space. It's a different, with the satellite means we program environments, all the media. But the first programming idea is the effect of the printing press, and that's public education. We're going to program these people to fit into wherever this is taking us. Yeah, it's important to know that nature and humans were, quote, obsolesced 500 years ago, and so what people think is going to happen in the ecology happened 500 years ago. And what's happening today is the cancellation of media environments that were built up the last 500 years. That's a different kind of content for the idea of ecological suicide or ecological disaster. You see? This is most people think 300, 400 years ago in their imagery. While they live a fantastically quadriphenic modern life.
Maybe this is the idea of Frank Zappa when he said there is nine types
of industrial pollution. That's right.
Those are the thunders.
Yes, that could be. Now, he said, here's where Zappa needed a little bit more McLuhan. Whatever I told him, he didn't take in. When ecology became a big deal in the 80s and 90s, he was proud. He said, well, our group was the first to talk about it. So way back in 68, he was playing nine types of industrial pollution. He was taking an ecological view, and maybe among the universities or the educated, a few of the elite, they knew about Rachel Carson and ecology, but it was not a popular thing. So Zappa sort of says he was the first to talk about ecology in the rock world with that song. Nine types of industrial pollution. But see, that's rearview mirror talk. That's not dealing with the McLuhan level of ecology and pollution. Right?
But pollution is just when a substance is too much in the environment or something disrupts the balance of this environment. And that's what happens with each thunder, that the old environment is out of balance and our perception is out of balance. And
yes.
We have this effect of pollution. It's not only a substance, but the effect of the new technologies that is this type of pollution maybe Zappa was talking about.
Yes, it's actually a hallucination. It's an effect of the new environment to think that the old environment looks messy. That's why every environment becomes an art form. That means in the rearview mirror, it's retrieved as an archetype, and people think they need to invest or improve it with their cultural, spiritual values, McLuhan said. They want to clean up the past, clean up whatever they, you know, television got away with murder in the 50s, and then when they stopped live TV in the middle 60s, that was the beginning of programming it and making it fit the industrial society that Americans didn't realize was being altered by television in the 50s. But by the 60s, when TV bit of live TV and brought in canned laughter. That's a knee-jerk response to a new environment. So ions here, new environment. What are the hallucinations going on in the world that are caused by ion? What old environment is being noticed and everybody thinks they want to clean it up? Well,
at the beginning, I was talking a lot about that, about the chain trails and...
Yes. He was putting them down. He was saying they're not an issue. Everybody's worried about chemtrails.
Yeah, people felt attacked everywhere.
Yeah, they would be personally bombed by airplanes in their backyard.
There are new epidemics, new wars, like the Renaissance, there is this religion wars.
Yes, the Holy Wars. Holy Wars.
Epidemics, the Black Death and all this.
What'd you say? The epigonus?
Epidemics. Epidemic?
The epigonus. What's he saying?
Epidemia
Yeah. Epidemia. That's
epidemic.
Even worse. Oh, epidemic. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Epidemia.
Yes, the people create also like a new virus or a new...
Right, right. That's right. Yes. Now, when you talk about chemtrails and all that, is that what your former boyfriend was into? He was into polluting?
Well, he was reading about conspiracies, and that's part of the...
Yeah, the chemtrails.
Conspiracies, this pollution of the environment and these attacks on people.
Yes, the Dan Witter world. Great news, guys. I joined Ayanna Miller's, I think I already was a friend of her on Facebook, but I went to her her Facebook page yesterday, and they're sitting like, you know, a duck in a row, totally just sitting out, innocently sitting in the open field, ready to be snipered, was Dan Witter. He had just posted 45 minutes before. I've been looking to get that guy for years because he is the beginning. He is the beginning of the series. We begin with his explanation of what happens when you die at the beginning of how to feel to be stone cold dead. We and so that was really good thing to say, because then Ion proceeds to correct and present people what happens about death that no one else had ever heard. So I've been meaning to draw Dan Winter's attention to it, but I didn't know where he was, and I just didn't want to email it to him or something. I don't know. I just held off, but that was a good intuition. Here he is sitting in Ayanna Miller's. Just posted something on the genetic mapping of the death experience, some scientific thing. And so I was able to come in and point out to him that his...
Well, it's interesting that Dan Winter somehow said he's an engineer of electronics.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, he's trained.
And so he was studying how the electricity moves around in the circuit of our body.
Okay, say that a little louder. Yeah. What did he study?
How the electricity moves in our body.
Yes.
Our body's like a circuit.
Yes.
The electricity moves around. And he said in the heart, the electromagnetic and the electricity form some forms that relate to the letters.
Yes,
the letters come from this electromagnetic.
The spiraling. I've seen the video. The spiraling of the geometric or the Fibonacci looks like the Hebrew alphabet.
Yeah, but he went into then the angelic.
Yeah.
He's somehow relates the angels giving information to humans.
Yeah.
This alphabet.
This what alphabet?
The alphabet.
Yeah.
And but he goes into the John Dee.
Yeah.
John information Dee about the angels.
Yes.
And he thinks they didn't have the science and the math to understand what they were talking about.
Yeah, the Book of Enoch.
Yes, he's not studying the right angel chart.
Right. He's aware of the angel chart. That's in his circle. They have it, but it's a crude version of it. They might have what we do, but they don't know the details. Now, what's interesting is that Roxy attended seminars by Dan Winter before she knew of us. And Dan Winter, his stuff is quite, you know, wacky. But he has a lot of science in that. He actually covers a lot of topics that Ion did. This was interesting. He would bring in genetics and angels and the kind of thing that Ion talks about. He did that. And very abstract, detailed charts and stuff, because he's kind of a polymath. He's encyclopedic. But, of course, he was winging it. It was based on the DNA. He didn't know about the RNA. And so he was a perfect guy for Ion to correct, to build on Dan's complexity and then correct it. So you should, since you took classes from him, Roxy, then you should have noticed or appreciated how Ion corrected what he was saying. Did that happen?
Yes, because there is some type of paranoia, like, for example, he will not wear any metal on his body.
Yes.
Because he's aware of how energy moves with the through materials, for example. Or any synthetic materials, because...
I think he was against air conditioning. he's a very...
About technology, yeah. At the end.
Yes.
They want to be all natural. He will eat avocados and instead of anything.
He would advocate us? What's that word?
Avocados.
Yeah, avocados.
Avocados.
He would eat avocados. No, he's a good...
I want dato.
He's
and,
a good...
not any sugar, but dato.
What?
Dato. As a sweetener. He would use this...
as a sitter, as that was
palm.
Sweetener, Bob.
He would use what?
Dattles. It's a fruit.
Dates. What would he use? Dattles.
It's from the palms.
Date palm.
But it's like they have this paranoia about things, substances, materials, because of the conductivity of the materials.
Yes.
For example, all the synthetic materials have produced this static
energy. What?
Static.
Ecstasy?
No.
Electrostatic.
Yeah. And, for example, too much metal, too much plastics.
Right. Okay,
a lot of this static energy around you and that's not good for natural... energy of your body, and then it's like you cannot live in the modern world.
That's right. Now, did you take what he said seriously? Did you get paranoid about things around you?
Yes, because I mean it has a scientific explanation, logic.
Yes, yeah, it appeals.
But I like that Diane said, "Oh, there is no problem with the chemtrails." That's why he told me, because at the time. I think we just came back from Barcelona.
No. Speak clearly, loudy. You know, get the mic right. I want to hear every word. I don't know what you just said.
Yes, we had been to Barcelona.
Yeah.
You know, with Celades.
Celades. Oh, yeah, that guy, Miguel. I met him in Barcelona, yeah.
And he had invited Dan Winter and all this. And, there is all this conspiracy talk and all these things about the chemtrails and all this. So on my first session, I said, there is no problem with the cum train.
Yes.
Toxic.
So when you heard that, what did you think?
Well, it was like a big relief. Somehow in me, something in me just believed it's true.
Right. But let me say this. Dan Winter, he's sort of popular. He's on the New Age circuit. He's on the fringe, but... His mind appeals to people because he's got a lot of the scientific education. But he shows exactly the very thing that Ion came in to correct. And Carolyn has many patients like this. They become more and more sensitive to everything. They get ecologically paranoid. And they end up being isolated and can't do anything because they're really worried because they believe Carolyn a couple years before that she pointed out there were some problems with various things. And then they take Carolyn's idea and they get nuts about it. And they go way too far. And they end up like Dan Winter. And Ian came in to correct that. That's a major important correction of Carol that Ian did. Yes, Carol.
I have my hand up. Yeah, I'd like to do a Dean debunk.
Okay.
Because until you said that, Roxanne, I didn't realize he was talking about electrostatic forces and metals and all that. That goes right back to magnesium. When people are magnesium deficient, then their electrolytes don't work, their nervous system processing doesn't work, and they start to have symptoms. Maybe when they're around certain things, they think, oh, that thing is the problem, whereas it's totally inside them that they don't have the proper cell signaling mechanisms that magnesium would give them, so they feel it's an external disruption. So that really helps me see what freaked all these people out and why magnesium and our other formulas seem to just balance these people out.
Yeah. So the...
Yes, and for example, we were all vegans.
Vegan.
We had all mineral deficiencies.
Yeah, because you were eating too many vegetables.
And Roxy, the only one of that group who knows that.
I do think there is a deficiency in the mineral intake.
Mm-hmm.
Many people that try to be too healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
we need more proteins.
And more protein, yeah, to make the cells. Yeah, and the soil does not have the minerals.
Now, Carolyn, here's where McClune comes in. This image of nature, of its minerals and rivers and waters and all the content that literate man sees in nature, pre-literate people did not see that.
Right.
They saw spirits and all kinds of other weird stuff. They did not see what we see, these solid trees and rivers and minerals and clouds and protons. They did not see all that. Okay? That was the effect of the printing press.
Mm.
When we get into the electric age, then that old hidden ground, the visualization of our anatomy and nature, what we call science, becomes a figure, and it becomes a hostile figure. And that's why everybody tried to tidy up the old environment, the image of nature that literate people had created for themselves. And they started to get part of being cleaning it up is to being worried about it. And so pollution and all this neurotic fetishes or responses to the contents of visually biased nature, the nature meme, is what you're witnessing.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole paranoia that happened is a product of a certain kind of personality collectively caused by the new electric nature that makes the old literate nature look dangerous. Now, that's a sociological interpretation. You bring in the physiological, the chemical, which is another factor. So if you bring in a satellite environment and the population is magnesiumly deficient, magnesium-wise deficient, then you'll get Dan Winter insanity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, because they're making all their theories based on an imperfect human model. The human model is not in balance, and that's, again, what Ion is trying
to... Well, you need to say that better. What's imperfect?
Well, the lack of minerals and protein and...
Well, that's not an imperfect model. That's deficiency.
Okay. Oh, you don't like me using the word imperfect.
Yeah, imperfect, but you're saying it's based on imperfect model. No, you mean they don't know about magnesium deficiency.
Correct.
So,
or protein deficiency. I mean, look at all these. There are 4% of the whole American population is vegetarian. Even less is vegan. And they make it out like to be healthy, you have to be a vegetarian. They've taken over the whole health meme. They make everybody feel bad because they're eating gluten and dairy and fat and all this. You just have to eat vegetables all the time. And even the studies, like the China study, where they tried to show, well, Chinese are very healthy who eat vegetarian and et cetera, et cetera. And they don't, the underlying story is that they're vegetarian because they're too poor to afford protein. And any minute they can, they'll grab protein. And they'll eat insects and everything to get the protein. So there's an incredible bias out there. And, you know, it may be a bit of a conspiracy because vegetarians are passive and mild. They don't have the energy to fight.
Was against vegetarianism on that political level.
Was he? Yeah.
Yeah, he just become a passive, apolitical homosexual. That's what happens at the vegan said.
Uh-oh. The phones are start ringing.
Well, we don't have any homosexual listeners. I'm the only homosexual here. I represent them, and I'm good enough. I do well at reminding you people of our rights, my fucking rights, okay? So, but now back to...
The problem was also that because all these synthetic materials are not right for the... It's like very a different type of energy than ours.
You said not fried.
Like synthetic
not
material, not right.
It's energy that is not good for us, in theory. So the whole environment, the cities, are like all bad. And, and the structures of the houses.
Yes.
And
no feng shui.
They develop very complex solutions. Like, you will build some structures like based on sacred geometry, in which you can be inside. And he said, for example, the egg and the fractal structures, like the pagodes, are good for this type of implosion, he called that, the
Implosion?
Yeah, that was his term for the thing we needed to create implosion.
Right.
To be like in the right frequency and the whole secret
right.
functions. Right.
Yeah, so it's like
but,
I said.
Yeah, you need all these things, but they are so complicated and
it's all like.
Wait a minute, what's that last sentence? Everything's sophisticated. What did you just say, Roxy? Everybody thinks.
Yeah, he is building these very expensive structures that you need.
Oh, people buy them.
So it's external manipulation of an internally created situation.
That's the chemical body level count. McClune brings in the sociological effect of the satellite, making everybody think nature's polluted whether they become a vegan or not. Why did stupid corrupt bureaucracies bring in the recycling shit? Because they were affected by the satellite effect. They don't believe in being vegetarian or they don't know your stuff, but they did feel that something had to be tidied up. They thought nature was...
I don't know. Bureaucracies didn't do it for that reason. They did it because the landfills were getting too full.
So they
had to divert.
That was decided later. Why in 1970 do you have an Earth Day? You have this people, this society is industrial
because
oriented.
Because Prince Philip is a vegetarian and he wanted to manipulate
well, that's
people.
There you are being LaRouche. That's LaRouche's quadrant. That Earth Day was a big conspiracy.
Yeah.
But
and,
I'm
yeah.
saying including the McLuhan level of the sociological effect of the satellite environment massively made a new attitude to come in, that the Earth needed to be tidied up. So McLuhan said that we are busy polluting art while tidying up nature. And
that,
what is art? The media environments, the new nature, the radio, TV, electronic, digital stuff coming in. We overdid those environments. We didn't recognize they need to be ecologically managed, didn't have any media fast, and so we tidied up the old environment. And that's always why I couldn't associate with Carolyn's New Age friends, because they didn't want to know that. So Carolyn would deal with all these whack jobs who would respond to the chemical body reasons of pollution. Well, Bobby on the radio explained, no, there's a bigger issue happening. So there was a huge division between the Connie tribe and the Dobbs tribe for decades. And never the twain shall meet. But then Ian came in and healed it.
Yes, and this is another important part of the apocalypse.
Yes.
Revelation that, like McLuhan was saying, like, Caroline is doing, we can program nature.
Yeah.
And once the satellite is outside the planet, everything is second nature. There is no nature and
right.
technology.
Yes.
Everything is a technology. Everything
but people projected the old first nature split on the new environment. They saw more of the split between first nature and second nature. And everything became second nature, and they then made a big deal out of the pristine first nature archetype. And that's what people call ecology. And you got Albert Gore and them running around still working on that meme. And Ion is changing that, altering it.
And instead of concentrating in outside technologies and becoming cyborgs and putting your whole information in some type of download computer so
yeah.
that you can be eternal as a computer or something, all these things. Ion concentrates on the cell and on the mutation of the blood,
yes.
not something outside.
Yes, that's right.
And he said, you can eat anything, even
raw sewage.
And for me, that was like the big apocalypse. It was like, wow, there is no... The solutions are there.
Wait. You just said, wow, there was a big apocalypse. What is the big apocalypse? Ion is the big apocalypse?
Yes, because we have the impression everything is...
Yes.
Degrading.
Yes.
Everything is polluted.
Right, so the revelation of Ion has apocalyptic disturbances to the point that all the proper authorities ignore us as much as possible because we obsolesce their memes, put them out of work.
Yes, because the programming of nature was the meme of the transmutation of the blood.
Now, that's a good point. Now, that's what happened 500 years ago. That could explain what went on in the castles. The sociological effect of the printing press was to program the old, what would become a chemical body, but the elites had a different idea of what to program, or at least they thought there was some secret thing to program, and that led into whatever the prince, the king, Frank, and them were thought they were doing. And then they saw that we were coming, and they put that in the Sistine Chapel. But it's we today have a programming not of nature, but of media environments. The second nature is what's programmed. You can see literacy created the division between human-made technologies and God-created worlds. Nature, what people call nature. That was split, and it was aggravated by the printing press. So therefore, when the printing press came in, people thought they could program first nature, which was human beings and animals, and process it for new machines, mutated. When we come in with the satellite environment, which is a kind of a completion, we're learning to program media environments, not the chemical body or not the original first nature. You actually have people thinking, oh, we've merged a bit. We're cyborgs now. We got to program the cyborg, which is what the Singularity Institute is doing now under Ron Kurzweil. They're trying to program the Android meme. You get that? Post-analog media environments. That's what they're. Yeah. That's the new ecological paranoia. And Ion's doing it by altering frequency levels. Now, I want to. This thing about vegetarian, Carol?
Yeah.
So Roxy used to go to this Indian sitar player, this Indian musical guru,
yeah.
and play for hours with them. And she has photographs of it, maybe even videos. Yeah, she took videos of this guy. So she really enjoyed playing this Indian music. That was just before I met her. And then when she got into making videos, she didn't go to this musical thing anymore. So a few months ago, she posted a ham, a McDonald's burger kind of meal or something, some meat thing. And the guru sent an email to Roxy and says, "What's happened to you? You've gone nuts. You're posting meat," because he was a vegetarian. They actually excommunicated Roxy from their musical scene.
Oh. Really?
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, he's an Indian guy. They're into vegetarianism, and they know meat is bad. They have all that traditional meaning.
Well, cows are sacred. That's, you know.
Oh, is that what it was? Roxy, did you post a dead cow?
Yeah, there are many things about that.
Well, no, say it loudly. What'd
there
you say?
Are many things about it.
About their neurosis.
Yeah.
But she got scolded by this guy. They saw it on her Facebook page. She was celebrating some local party she'd been at or something.
It's protein.
What?
Celebration of protein.
Protein, right. And this guru, spanked her in public.
Oh.
That's the paranoia.
Yeah.
Carolyn, I can't believe that only 4% of the population of the U.S. is vegetarian. They make majority is now.
Just Google the statistics.
Prince Charles has won. Prince Charles fooled everybody.
It's all propaganda. It's amazing.
I mean, we go into Whole Foods here in Kitsilano, which is like the yoga and health capital of Vancouver, and I see people that are younger than me, and they have straw hair. Like, their hair looks like it's not healthy. It's all gray. Last time we walked by, Kate and I swore we're not going in there anymore. It's ridiculous. People are wearing yoga clothes, and they are acting like they're in the shrine of health or something. But we walk in, and I was like, no, let's go in. I think I want to record it one of these times I go in here, because everyone just looks so unhealthy, and they're all vegetarian. They're all avoiding the meat aisle, and they have straw hair. And there's people that are younger than me that have gray straw hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I say, tongue-in-cheek, is it a conspiracy to try to get people to eat this way? Because it really does take the life force right out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, back to the Dan Winter thing, I know quite a bit about it because Angela was into him. And
Angela was into
Dan Winter for a little while, and Ion shook her out of that. But he was really into sacred geometry, like being some kind of holy grail. It was very important that everything had a sacred geometry to it. And I came along, so there is no sacred geometry. There's only what you patterns that you imbue with power and sacredness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's because of this type of transmission of energy or electricity. If you say this type of constructions of songs are good.
Fix your mic.
Yeah, to create what he calls implosion, which is this state of everything flowing as it should. Uh-huh. In our bodies, in the circuit of our body, and there is some type of electromagnetic field around our heart that is fed by this implosion, by this good flowing of energy. And so
you just have too many rules about everything. It's too complicated.
Yeah. I mean, for the labyrinth of the mind, it's very interesting because he has a lot of information about angels and about this type of science that sort of makes sense.
Well, you know what it is? It's like half-truths. And I hear it all the time in the nutrition world. They'll have a study and, yeah, it'll be half right, but then it's not the whole picture. And again, you know, if he's talking about transmission of energy, energy can't be either created or transmitted unless you have enough magnesium. So if people have energy blocks or whatever, you know, look at the chemical body first and look at the electrolytes. So, yeah, and I'm just saying this for the first time today from from the discussion here that, you know, is this the underlying mechanism of electrolyte deficiencies that's creating a lot of this desire for balancing energy and increasing your energy, doing your kundalini energy exercises?
Yeah, it's so, like they're making them physically deficient, so then they have to turn to their other bodies to try to make up a deficit.
Right. Yeah.
There's a meme right now going that links vegetarianism and greenhouse gas emissions, so they've connected the environment. Like, if you become a vegetarian, you'll help cut the emissions of the greenhouse gases. So they're trying to say that if you're a vegetarian, you'll save the environment. So that's the other meme that's contributing.
And what is Ion telling us? Make more carbon.
Yes.
The opposite.
If one reads about, for example, the soja, how there's a lot of destruction of rainforest to grow soja, for example, in Brazil. It's like, it's not a real solution for the ecology to become a vegetarian when they're destroying rainforest to plant soja.
Yeah, it's like blaming the individual for their personal choices rather than trying to go after the corporations that are destroying whole countries.
Yes, and what I like about McLuhan and Ion and all of you is that you are going really into the hidden ground of these ecologies, of the cell, for example, of the atmosphere, of the elements.
Yeah.
And explaining how we are really reprogramming nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it does start with Ion saying we're perfect already. I'm perfectly happy where I am, but ready for more, so that we don't keep attacking ourselves and make ourselves feel guilty because we've been, you know, none of it matters. You know, we're perfect where we are. And
that's what little man does. They keep building up a new environment, and then when they move into a new environment, instead of studying that new environment and figuring it out like we're doing here with Ion and building on that, they turn around and they look back at the old environment and they start shredding it and tearing it apart. Tearing it down.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bob, you're muted.
Chad, they're not intending to tear it down. They want to rebuild it better. They're tearing down what's perceived as the stains and blemishes on it because they didn't know the disservices until it becomes rear mirror. So then you want to correct the disservice. So you want to make it prettier and better. Like McLuhan said, we're going to turn the whole planet into a theme park, tidy up the old nature, and due to the satellite effect. Now, we're well into the Android meme effect, which is different. And so when you say we're programming nature, no, Ion is programming the Android meme by creating an alternative cloud. You've got to use images of technology or digital software to get to what is being altered by Ion. Ion is not programming nature. You know what I mean? Old nature.
Yes, and this is another revelation because people think it's about, for example, eating healthy. That's how you change whatever. And the thing is much more complicated than that. Like, these technologies are affecting and having repercussions at many levels. It's not about the content of whatever medium. It's like we're talking about the printing press and the effects on perception and the many levels in which they're affecting all the environment.
Yeah, so on the McLuhan...
People don't even know...
But the people are getting the effects. On the McLuhan forum, there's two of them, and we're on one. If you look it up, it's the one with the capital letters for Marshall McLuhan. And on comes Carolyn Guertin, who we've done this long series analyzing her book, Digital Prohibition. And she just, and they're talking about Trumpism and this world now, and she goes, it's mass insanity. So I go on there and said, any McLuhan scholar would never use the term mass insanity. There's an